Today, we begin with a reading from Isaiah that hopes for a time when all is different and speaks to what that time will look like. There will be feasts with well-aged wine. Death will be destroyed, and there will be no more tears. This will be the day of the Lord when all is different. The hardships and pains of life will be no longer. All will be as God intended it to be. We also have a reading from Paul's farewell address to his friends in Philippi, whom he encourages to be as those whose lives lived in that time that Isaiah has described. Paul recognizes that the here and now and the not yetness of the kingdom of God, and he recognizes our involvement in the ushering in of God's kingdom. And Jesus continues in Matthew with his description of what the kingdom of God is like. And again, as in the last 2 weeks, the depiction of the kingdom is far from perfect. It's a kingdom full of folks who've been given the choice to live their lives as those who have been given the whole kingdom, or to live as those who refuse kingdom life. This time, the kingdom is like a party, a banquet, and the story is rich, and it's difficult as well. There was a wedding banquet, given by a king, no less. The invitation read, "The prince is getting married, save the date." And since it was the king throwing this lavish wedding banquet, one would think that everyone would be thrilled to have been included, that they would have planned for months what they would wear, who they would see, who else had been invited to this banquet. After all, being on the list of those included in the wedding banquet hosted by the king is no small deal. If you're on that list, you are in the in crowd. But they didn't come. They were busy. Did you notice that it wasn't monumental sins that kept them away? They weren't off misbehaving in any way. They were just caught up in what they thought had to be done at home or at work. There was just too much to do to go to a wedding banquet. And it's about at this moment in the parable that Jesus is telling that nagging discomfort should begin to sink in. When we realize that this is not simply a story about a king who gave a banquet, but it's an allegory about what God has done for us. From this point on, the story loses any sense of regular proportion. The feast is prepared, but a troop of soldiers go out and wreak havoc in the town. They destroy the murderers and burn the city. And if this was a simple story about a wedding celebration, we could dismiss that part as ridiculous. The food is getting cold, and who focuses on sending troops out when the banquet's ready? But this is not a simple story. At least not on the surface. It actually is a simple story, but it may not be what we want to hear. The king sent out an invitation, and those invited were too busy to bother with showing up for the party. There was too much to do in their small world, and they couldn't take the time to join in the celebration. And if this allegory were not powerful enough with just that, we hear that once those guests refused, the slaves were to go out and get all whom they found, the good and the bad. Yeah, the good and the bad, everybody. And for that, we should give thanks. All are included. But it seems to take a downhill turn from there. There was an attendee there who was not dressed properly. The issue at hand was that the man has no wedding robe. And that's not really what it sounds like. The fact is that this person was not willing to put on the robe. Wedding robes are provided for all the guests. He was not willing to change. He was not willing to allow himself to be changed by his inclusion into the banquet. And woe to him, or to her, or to us, if we think that we can call ourselves Christians and not be changed in the process. The king said, "Bind him hand and foot, and throw him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, that surely doesn't sound good, but it sounds like one of those things we should pay attention to. We cannot accept the invitation to the banquet and stay the same. In order to follow Christ, in order to be Christians, we must allow ourselves to be changed. And that change must be something that's visible. We ourselves must be outward and visible signs of God's inner and spiritual grace. Others should be able to see in us the fact that we've joined the party. And that's what it is. A party, not a club. Not something we've been included in because we had the right pedigree or went to the right school or behaved ourselves correctly in social situations, but because we were invited to be a part of the kingdom of God. And we showed up. And we allowed ourselves to be changed. Paul's farewell address speaks to that transformation and what it looks like in our lives. Paul's often really good about giving practical applications to Jesus' broadness. "Rejoice in the Lord always," he says. And this is so important, he repeats it. "Again, I say rejoice." This is good news. You've been invited to the banquet, to the celebration, to the party. Rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Pray. Trust God." God is waiting eagerly to be a part of your life, and when you know that, you will have a peace that passes all understanding. That peace doesn't worry nor fret, but trusts that God is in control. That peace knows this is not about us, whatever this is, but it's about God. God is in control. And God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, Paul says, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." That's what the transformation of life is about. It's about peace. It's about love. It's about realizing that we have been invited to the banquet. A banquet that requires a response. Not just lip service, but life service. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, do these things. Put on the garment and come into the banquet. Allow yourself to be changed and filled with the love and grace of God. Amen.